The following is a lecture entitled Developing Determination, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 15th, 2009, in Pune, India.
So I'm asked today to speak on how to develop determination. So before I begin, I would like to beg the blessings of the great authorities, that I may speak some words appropriate on this auspicious occasion. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha. Shri Rupa Sagraja Sagana Raguna Tanvita Dam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, to be successful in anything, you have to be determined. That's a fact. Some people say, I'm not able to chant. I want to chant japa, but I can't do it. I want to chant 16 rounds, I'm not able to chant 16 rounds. So I asked them, do you eat? They say, oh yes, I eat. Do you eat every day? They said, yes, of course I eat every day. I asked them, are you the body? They say, no. You're feeding your body every day, even though it's not you. You see, your eating feeds your body and the chanting feeds your soul. So if you're going to feed your body, how much more important it is that you feed your soul? They understand. And I tell them, therefore, you should make a program. You won't eat until you finish your 16 rounds every day. No prasadam. That's your reward, finishing your round. Now you get to take prasadam. Actually, Prabhupada one time made a rule like that. Maybe he was joking, but he said one time that if you miss Mangal Arti, you have to fast until you distribute a Krishna book. So when I was traveling with Vishnu Janaswami, he enforced that on me. Actually, it wasn't so much my fault, but I was sleeping in the equipment bus outside the temple to guard it, and somehow or other, I missed Mangal Arti. No one woke me up. Somehow or other, I always went to Mangal Arti, but this particular morning, I didn't. So he made me follow that rule. Then he was ecstatic. I had to fast until I distributed a Krishna book. So I took a Krishna book and my prasadam with me on Sankirtan. And after I distributed a Krishna book, then I took prasadam. So we're so determined for our sense gratification, easily determined for sense gratification. No one has any trouble being determined for sense gratification, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We simply have to apply that same determination to Krishna consciousness. And then we automatically advance on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Of course, the worst enemy of determination is illicit sex. Because it makes you intoxicated. One becomes completely enamored with the body, the opposite sex, the bodily parts, the opposite sex. Completely blinded. Therefore, the Vedic culture teaches brahmachari. Give up that sex pleasure. Prabhupada said brahmachari means one who has sex only for procreation. That is brahmachari. He doesn't take sex as for recreation. Even in married life, it must be very strict. Unless the husband and wife are wanting to produce child, brahmachari, strict brahmachari. If one indulges in sex life outside of procreation, that ruins the power of determination. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that Gandhiji, in his 30s, he adopted strict brahmachari, even though he was a married man. Strict brahmachari. And because of that brahmachari, he became so powerful in his determination, he was able to drive the British out of India. So the first prerequisite for determination is brahmachari. I only engage in sex to produce Krishna conscious children in the womb of my wife. Otherwise, no sex. That is brahmachari. In our movement, everyone is brahmachari. We have five kinds of brahmacharis. Brahmachari, brahmacharis, brahmacharini, brahmacharis, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, brahmachari, and sannyas brahmachari. This is a brahmachari movement. Everyone brahmachari. Sex only for procreation. No other than that, no sex at all. It takes so much, they expend so much energy for sex enjoyment. They have to work hard to get the right looking clothes, the right kind of car, the right kind of everything, so they can take the girl to the right kind of restaurant. It just goes on and on and on and on. So if you will become brahmachari, you see, every woman is mother, except for my wife, every woman is mother, you see. That would give you great power of determination, that you can accomplish anything. You can drive the Kali Yuga off of this planet, you see. Someone who is completely powerful in brahmachari, he can drive the Kali Yuga off of this planet. Just as Gandhi drove the British out of India, he can drive Kali Yuga off of this planet. Actually, Maharaj Parikshit, he gave Kali some places of residence, didn't he? But our agenda is no place of residence for Kali. Our book distributors go everywhere to drive away Kali. We go even to the brothels and the taverns. Distribute Prabhupada's books. I remember we were going in the drive-in movies. It's now practically finished. But before the days of video, there was what was called, in the U.S. is very popular, it's called drive-in movie. There'd be a huge screen, and you would drive your car in, and you would you line up your car, there'd be a little speaker you could put in your car, and you could watch the movie. Of course, everybody used it for having illicit sex. The teenagers, you see. were living with their parents, they would take a girl to the drive-in movie and they'd have sex in the car during the movie, you see. But we were there going car to car with the books. You know. Somebody's having sex and you come up with Prabhupada's books, you know. So we don't give Kali any place of residence, you see. Even when they're having illicit sex, we offer them Prabhupada's books. Here, take a minute away and you can read this. No place of residence. Sometimes the devotees go in the bar and they have kirtan, they sing and dance inside the tavern, and everyone becomes ecstatic, you see. This is the best entertainment we ever had in the bar. Some singing and dancing. Bright-faced singers and dancers, the devotees. So our program is to go everywhere, not give Kali any residence whatsoever. Kali, our agenda is Kali will have to join the Bhakta program. So Bhakta Kali. Shaved up, dhoti, tilak. We need to get the personality of Kali in the Bhakta program. Put him through all the levels, you know. Make him a fixed-up brahmana. That's our program, Prabhupada Kali. So, to conquer Kali, we have to be very, very determined to first of all drive the Kali out of our heart, you see. When Prabhupada was giving a television interview in Gainesville, Florida, back in around the year 1971, the gentleman asked him, how do you recognize a Krishna conscious person? He said, he will be a perfect gentleman. So, if we actually want to become determined and powerful to drive away Kali, the first principle is become a perfect gentleman. A sensitive, caring, loving person who cares about other people. Not a selfish brute who couldn't care less what anybody else is going through and only thinks of themselves. We have to become non-envious well-wishers of all living beings. That's the first step, you see, in becoming determined. Non-envious well-wishers of all living beings. And if we develop that mood, you see, then we can live our whole life in Krishna consciousness. Why? Vishayamani vartante nirhaharashadehina rashavarshang rishyo pyasya parang drishnamnavartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So, what is that higher taste, you see? Material consciousness is selfishness. Spiritual consciousness is selflessness. So, by actually manifesting selflessness in our thoughts, words, and deeds, of doing everything for the pleasure of Sri Guru and Krishna, we will experience a higher taste. And then these so-called lower tastes of lust, anger, greed, madness, and lewdness, and envy, the so-called taste, you see, we'll see that it's nonsense, it's rubbish, these so-called tastes. They're simply poison. Why I should be lusty? I can't enjoy. Why I should be greedy? I cannot enjoy. Why I should be angry? That won't give me any satisfaction. Why I should be mad or illusioned or envious? That won't satisfy me, it'll simply frustrate me. Let me therefore cultivate this saintly qualities in the heart. Because this and this alone will satisfy me. Brahmabhutta prasanatmana sochatina kangshati samaksaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once comes in love of Brahman and becomes absolutely ecstatic. He never hankers nor laments about anything. He's equally disposed towards all living entities. And in that state, Krishna says, he achieves pure devotional service unto me. So these qualities, being very determined, being very selfless, being a perfect gentleman, you see, this sort of mindset brahminical qualities. You see, this is the mindset that will that leads into pure devotional service. You can't force yourself. Pure devotional service is a gift that comes from Guru and Krishna. You can't get it mechanically, but we can discipline ourselves to act and speak and think as gentlemen in all situations. That we can do. Kind-hearted, considerate, loving, caring, sharing persons. That we can do. So if we cultivate the brahminical qualities, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, and chant the holy names of the Lord, then we become in the proper state of mind to achieve pure devotional service, the ultimate goal of human existence. The ultimate goal of existence. There's every living entity exists by its very nature. The nature of his existence is to engage in pure devotional service to the supreme person, the source of all existence, Krishna. That is the nature of the existence of every single jiva soul throughout the entire creation, all the spiritual worlds and all the material worlds, spiritual planets, material universes, everywhere, throughout all of existence. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna and is therefore meant to engage in Krishna's service. That is his natural, original position of consciousness. So, we have to be very determined to remain steady in these principles. As I mentioned this morning, by always remembering the little sparrow. Does everybody know the little sparrow? Everyone knows the story of the little sparrow. It's pretty... Yes? No? This means yes? Okay. Yeah, and this, the Indian yes is so close to the American no. Sometimes they get confused. They go, they're saying no. I remember I was in Australia and New Zealand, yeah, behind the Bajari room. And there's a narrow, one devotee was coming this way and I was coming this way. I immediately veered to the right. He said, oh, you're in America. Because in Australia, in New Zealand, you see, you veer to the left. That's, and for driving, you keep to the left. In India also, keep to the left. In America, we keep to the right. It's just a natural thing. If there's we just instinctively go to the right if there's a narrow passageway. So there's, you know, we have our cultural conditioning. But if we use that all in Krishna's service, whatever our conditioning may be, you see. Actually, Prabhupada encouraged us. He said, use your American intelligence how to distribute this Krishna consciousness. The Americans are very big brains in marketing. I mean, just look how they, you know, some nonsense thing like Coca-Cola, you know. All over the world, people are drinking Coca-Cola, even though it's bad for your health. It's a waste of time, but they... Through marketing, they've created this idea, I have to have Coca-Cola. You see. You know, they come up with all these different jingles. Things go better with Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coke after Coke after Coke after Coke. See, they come up with all this. The Americans are very intelligent at cheating people. So we can use that same expertise. You know, it's you could say salesmanship. You can use that same expertise for spreading Krishna consciousness. We can explain Krishna consciousness in such a way that everybody will think, well, I got to have it, you know. This is even better than Coca-Cola. How can I live without Krishna consciousness? That we have to make propaganda like that. So everyone will think, how can I live without Krishna consciousness? How did I ever live without Krishna consciousness? We have to make such nice propaganda that everyone will understand there's really, you know, if you, it's like sometimes people think it's not very cool to be a, you know, a brahmachari, you know. I mean, you know, you shave your head, wear some robe. I think you're not cool, but actually this is the supreme cool thing, mm-hmm. you see. Actually, there's nothing more cool than Krishna consciousness. God is the supreme enjoyer. He lives a cooler existence than anyone else, the supreme person. He's the supreme enjoyer. And he was thinking, actually, being the Lord isn't cool enough. To increase my enjoyment, I will go to a higher level and I'll become a devotee. You see, Krishna becomes his own devotee, because that's even more cool than being God. To be the devotee of God is more cool than being God. So being Hare Krishna, that is the most cool thing we can do. Even God himself wants to become Hare Krishna. Nothing more cool than that, you see. If you really want to be in, want to be part of the in crowd, then join the Hare Krishna movement. These are the people who are really in, who really know what's happening on this planet, you see. We used to say in the 60s, where's the action? Where is it happening? That was one of the hippie sayings. You know, you come to some town, the hippies used to wander around to different hippie events, and they would come to the town, they'd ask one hippie, where's the action, man? Where's it happening here in town? So this is where the real action is, you see, Krishna consciousness movement. Actually, there's nothing happening outside of this Krishna consciousness movement. It's just not everything happening outside of ISKCON is just a shadow. I can't understand how these news agencies are spending so much energy on all of this garbage that's not even significant. The newspapers, the news websites, CNN, I mean, they're covering the most ridiculous, insignificant events that have no ultimate benefit for anyone. Why are they wasting their time, you see? Shama eva hi kevalam. It is simply useless labor. All of this, all these newspapers being printed, magazines, all these movies being made. Simply a waste. You can start writing questions down if you have any. You can start writing your questions now. Soon we'll stop and have questions. So, everything is here. Everything you could ever want, ever need, ever desire, it's all here in Krishna consciousness. Millions and billions of times more than you could ever feel you needed it or wanted it or had to have it. It's all here in Krishna consciousness. Everything that you could ever want. Full satisfaction. Beyond any enjoyment you could ever get in this material existence. Even up to the post of Brahmaji. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravarti narjana mamupechita konteya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, every single place is hellish. It's a hell. Every place is hell. But one who attains to Maya Bodh, Punar Janma Navidyate, he never takes birth again. See, a devotee wouldn't want to come back here. Once you taste the real nectar of Krishna consciousness, who would want to go back? That means people leave this movement, they never really tasted Krishna consciousness. They never really experienced what is Krishna consciousness. Anyone who actually tastes what is Krishna consciousness, they will never, ever, ever, ever give it up. They will remain eternally in Krishna's service. Anyone who actually gets the taste for Krishna consciousness. Because that taste exceeds any taste you can get. I don't care how rich, how powerful, how famous you may be. You see, you won't be happy in this material world. You see, you won't be happy. There is no happiness out there. Simply an illusion of happiness. But it's a big, big illusion. There is no happiness there. So if you will have proper philosophical understanding, you will see things as they are by seeing through the eyes of the great acharyas. If you will see things as they are, understand this is real. Everything else is unreal. not true, then there'd be no question of giving up your determination to serve Krishna forever. No question. Prabhu janme janme, Prabhu say, you see. We worship our guru birth after birth. Even if I have to remain eternally in this material existence, that's all right. As long as I remain always worshipping my spiritual master. Prabhu say, janme janme, Prabhu say. You are my Lord birth after birth. We don't care if we have to stay in this material world. Of course, Krishna will take us back, that's a fact. But we're not making a condition. Krishna, I will surrender if you will take me back to Godhead. No, we're not making any such business deal with Krishna. That's a condition. The devotee says, I want to serve you because you are the Supreme Lord. That's it. You are the Supreme, therefore I want to serve you. Whatever you do with me, that's your business. But from my side, I will always worship you and love you and serve you for all of eternity. So is there any questions now? All right. What are the favorable circumstances Brahmachari Ashram provides over Grihastha Ashram performing Krishna consciousness? Being aloof from the association of women. I remember when I was back in my brahmachari days. It was a little joke, but one of my brahmachari godbrothers, it was a little fun joke I had with him. But this brahmachari, his name was Gopalacharya, he said, we had a woman's ashram like about 5 miles away from the temple. The women were very far away. He said, where's the woman's ashram? He asked me. And I thought I'd have a little fun. I said, what's a woman? You understand? I said, what is a woman? I didn't say, well, I don't know where the... I was playing dumb like, well, here we are in the Brahmacharya Ashram. What is a woman? I've never heard of that. What is a woman? I've never heard of that before. This new thing you're talking about, a woman? I don't know. I said, what is a woman? That was my answer. And he asked, what is the woman's ashram? What is a woman? So Brahmacharya Ashram is very nice in that way, that you can not be carried away by womanly attraction. Actually, Prabhupada said, I am asking that all of the men, they shall remain brahmachari. And then he also said, I'm asking all the women to get married. He said, that is the dilemma. But... don't think, well, I have to get married for the sake of the women. Now, there will be some men who are not strong enough to remain brahmacharis. But the best thing is to remain strong, fixed up brahmachari, like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. All the great acharyas, whether they were in household life or remain brahmachari, everyone glorifies brahmachari life is the very best thing. Because there's no encumbrance. You can... just look at it practically. Okay, right now, all your only business is to hear and chant about Krishna 24 hours a day, right? You have no other business. But if you're married, well, I got to get an apartment, I got to get a job. I just spend 10 hours a day in some karmi environment, hearing all that stupid gossip going on, under some big pressure to get a project done with the fear of being laid off, not being able to maintain my wife and kids, and just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. It's very, very difficult. Grihastha life is very difficult. Brahmachari life is so sweet, so easy, so nice, so simple. But you just have to put yourself in the right mindset. You have to give up the enjoying mood, you see. To remain brahmachari, you have to always be in the mood of service, understanding that service is more enjoyable than trying to be the enjoyer. If you always remember that service is more enjoyable than being the enjoyer, you see, grihastha life means an attempt to be the enjoyer. That's grihastha life. Of course, that can be utilized in Krishna's service under the guidance of the spiritual master. But one is much better off if one can remain brahmachari. Throughout the whole life, you see, you have no business except to hear and chant and remember Krishna 24 hours a day. Okay, next question. You're expert at fixing them. Okay, I inferred from your lecture that we have to act morally before coming to the platform of transcendental morality. Can you please explain acting morally and when to act transcendentally morally? Because many times we tend to act immorally in the name of transcendental morality. Actually, it goes on concurrently. We do cultivate morality. There are principles. No illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. At the same time, we cultivate transcendental consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So we cultivate both things simultaneously. In the beginning, we're not completely on the transcendental platform, but we can cultivate the qualities of the gentleman, Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma. So one has to be careful, not in the name of... Sometimes people say, well, in preaching, it's okay to be offensive, but it's not really true. For the sake of preaching, you can commit offenses against devotees, but that's not true. If we're offensive towards devotees, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. We're spoiling. It's like pouring water on the fire when you're trying to light it. We have to be careful to always act in a very proper way. Many times we intellectually understand that there is no happiness in this world, but our mind keeps looking for the so-called happiness. But how to cope with such a situation? Because sometimes the mind becomes raging mad to satisfy the sense. Please, God. Baba very lucidly explained, when the senses are screaming at you for sense gratification, you have to scream louder. No! Your genitals are saying, give me sex. Many men have a trouble with masturbation. See, they stimulate their genitals to pass semina. They look at porno, and they masturbate. You wouldn't believe how many emails I get from men who are coming to our movement. They're chanting, they're coming to the temple. Not in the ashram, people on the outside, you see. And they have this problem. They're masturbating and they want to stop. They need help. How can I stop masturbating? Please help me. I can't tell anyone. I can't tell my parents. I can't tell my friends. They end up telling me through the internet, you see. I get all these. I can't even. It's a huge long. I mean, it's like regular for years. I mean, all these young men are masturbating and they want to stop it, you see. So Prabhupada said, you just have to tell no. The senses scream, give me sex. You see. The genital says, masturbate me. No. You see. The tongue says, I want to enjoy. No. You just have to say no. Just like a parent chastising a child. No, you cannot have. In that way, you have to be very firm. How to maintain steady determination in Krishna consciousness? By steadily being devoted to your spiritual master. By His grace, you will be steady in your determination. When our health goes down, that's what I'm going through right now, down health, then our chanting qualities also goes down. Wow. Which leads to shaken determination. How should we keep firm determination under such a situation? Well, you have to see sickness or any kind of reverse condition is actually not your enemy, but actually your friend, because you're burning off reactions for past sinful deeds. Or for a spiritual master, it can mean burning off some of his disciples. He can be taking it on behalf of his disciples also, the spiritual master who initiates. He can get the reactions from his disciples also. But anyway, for the general devotees in general, we understand that I'm suffering because I have past sins. I'm getting the reactions from my past sins. So if you see everything in the transcendental way, in the Krishna conscious way, then you will utilize that reverse condition as further energization, further giving you further energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. This example may make it clear for you. Prabhupada says a businessman, an expert businessman, he moves forward his business in every situation. If the prices go down, he buys. You see, if the prices go up, he sells. No matter whether it's a bear or a bull market, an up market or a down market, you see. He's always moving his business forward. So a devotee is like that. He sees everything as the mercy of Krishna and utilizes every situation, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly. He uses everything in such a way that every single situation he's in advances him further and further in Krishna consciousness. Could you explain some practical steps for brahmachari for overcoming temptations to the opposite sex? Just think of, analyze it. What is it really, you know? It's just Maya Devi's expert packaging job. The breasts, the hips, the sexual organ, you know. What is it? It's just an expert. It's nothing more than mucus, bile, pus, blood, stool, and urine packaged in a certain way that bewilders the mind of a male. That's a, you ever seen the monkeys in Vrindavan? Their rear end is red by nature's arrangement. You know why that it's like them? So they become sexually attracted to the rear end of the opposite sex. It's actually red by nature's way. Their rear end is red to incite the passionate desire of the male monkey. You see how disgusting it is, you know, it's how embarrassing it is. You think, well, I would never want to be like that. We saw one time when we were doing in Mathura for the Rath Yatra, there was a male cow in the street, and he became very lusty. He's looking at a cow, and his genitals came out like a mile long. It was so embarrassing, and I frankly blushed and just seeing his genitals are like a mile long. Not really a mile, but it seemed like a mile long genital coming out, you know. And he was just going crazy. He couldn't think I'm in the public, you know. Here I am with hundreds of people standing around, and my genitals 1 mile long coming up. It's so embarrassing, you know. I mean, who wants to be in that kind of an embarrassing situation? You know, a mile long genitals, you know. Just be cool and be transcendental and realize that there's no pleasure in this interaction between the male body and the female body. There's no pleasure there. Prabhupada does say that there is a pleasure coating on the male genital and the female genital to give a heavenly pleasure. We're not denying that. But why is it there? To counteract the distresses of raising a child. You see, in other words, if it wasn't for that pleasure coating on the genitals, practically nobody would go to the trouble of having children. It's so much difficulty to have kids. How hard you have to work, all the torment you go through. But they get, for a few seconds, they get this intense pleasure like the demigods in heaven, you see. But an intelligent person thinks, you know, why should I be, you know, king for a day and slave for a lifetime? Does it make sense? You know, the Indian weddings, they put him on a horse, you know, give him they make him like a king for one day. Wow, I get to be a king, you know. There's a silver-plated chariot and all this stuff. I've seen the weddings here, you know. like he's king for a day, you know, but then slave for a lifetime. You know, is it worth it? Why be king for a day and slave for a lifetime? Why not be king for a lifetime by becoming brahmachari? Brahmachari means he's king. He has mastered his senses. His senses are like the citizens in his kingdom, and he's mastered over them. He's king. He's king of his senses. That is called Goswami, one who becomes king over his senses. That's why we call the sannyasis Maharaj, you see, great king. They also call me Maharaj also because I'm a Guru Maharaj. So anyway, that you can become a great Maharaj, a great king over your senses by engaging them only in Krishna service. In our present state, what do you mean by experiencing a higher taste for us? What is that higher taste? You don't know? You don't know? Why are you here? If you're not getting a higher taste, what are you doing here? Are you an undercover agent for the Indian spies agency? Who wrote this? No, I don't want to pin him in. No, there must be a higher taste. Otherwise, why were you here? This is higher taste. This is higher taste. To be here talking about Krishna, and talking about controlling our senses to advance in Krishna consciousness, this is the sweetest taste. I'm tasting so much nectar talking about Krishna that I just want to go on glorifying Krishna, glorifying Krishna, glorifying Krishna. Every time I am making plans for advancement in Krishna consciousness, but I am not very much determined to follow for a long time. For example, chanting before breakfast or reading Srimad Bhagavatam book every day. How should I determine? How should I determine to it? And follow for a long time. How shall I become determined? Well, just like if somebody wants to get a college degree, you have to be determined. You have to do the austerities of attending the classes, writing the papers, sitting for the exams, etc. So the same determination you would apply to get a college degree, if you just apply that same determination to Krishna consciousness. You have to understand this is what you have to do in order to get the degree. In our case, it's Krishna Bhakti. That's the degree we're working for. Krishna Bhakti degree. Not a piece of paper, but actually the awakening of Krishna Bhakti within the heart. Can you please give some understanding about determination and the modes of nature? Yeah, there's determination in the mode of goodness, determination in the mode of passion, and determination in the mode of ignorance. The bum is very determined to scrape together, to beg enough money to buy a bottle of wine, you see. And then he goes off and gets drunk. That's his determination. Determination in the mode of passion is the materialist. He's very determined to get it materially. He works very hard to get that car, to get those material facilities. His determination in the mode of goodness, which is the devotee, you see. And he achieves, his reward is not that bottle of liquor or that car or whatever. His reward is Krishna Bhakti. Sometimes I am not able to appreciate certain qualities in a person while others are talking about it. I feel that it was okay or good, but not worthy of so much appreciation. Sometimes devotees also exaggerate things of making an ant look like an anthill. How does one overcome this? Well, maybe you're right. Maybe devotees are overly glorifying something. It's possible. You might be right. I can't. It depends on the situation. But That desire to only see the good in a person, that is very good. It's a very good mindset to be in. Most likely is, if someone's being glorified and we're feeling it's an exaggeration, it's probably our envy getting in the way. We should think, I'm probably being envious, so let me curb it down. This person's being glorified so much, and I don't really think he deserves that much glorification, but Krishna says, the more you glorify the devotees, the more I'm pleased with you. So, you know, we have to see things from the perspective of Krishna. He wants to see that his devotees are glorified. So, instead of finding fault when devotees are glorified, well, I don't think they deserve that much glorification. We should think, I'm probably guilty of envy, and let me curb this envy down. How does one resolve to speak only about Krishna or related things and not prajalpa? Why does it happen that we start discussion with Krishna and end up prajalpa or frivolous talk? Well, we have our past conditioning, we're still overcoming. So we have to. What did Prabhupada say? A gentleman speaks twice before he thinks twice before speaking anything. God gave us how many ears? Two. And how many mouths? One. That means we should be twice as interested in hearing as we are in speaking. So you have to understand the qualification for speaking is good hearing. If you haven't heard nicely, you're not qualified to speak yet. The only devotees who are qualified to speak are those who have heard nicely. Those who have not heard sufficiently, they're not qualified to speak. That's why we let the senior devotees give the lectures, you see. So how will you become senior qualified devotee? By hearing very nicely. Then automatically you will also become qualified to speak. So if we have this mood that before I'm qualified to say a single word, I have to hear very, very nicely and be more eager to hear than we are to speak. In this way, frivolous talks will go away, naturally. That was one of the rules. I remember I joined the Brahmacharya Ashram of Vishnu Janaswami, and that was one of the rules posted on the wall. No frivolous talking. That was one of the rules. You weren't allowed to talk anything frivolous. It was a rule of the ashram. Frivolous talking is not allowed here. Forbidden. It was the law of the ashram. We join in Brahmacharya Ashram. We are seeking some of the Brahmacharis, or seeing some of the Brahmacharis converted to Grihastha Ashram. So how should we have fixed determination to continue in Brahmacharya Ashram? See, every woman is mother. You wouldn't marry your mother, would you? If every woman is mother, then what's the question of getting married? Every woman is my mother. Doesn't matter if she's a little girl, she's a young 20-year-old dazzling beauty queen, or an old withered up prune. They're all mother. Actually, those dazzling beauty queens will all be withered up prunes today or tomorrow. You see, a dazzling beauty looks like she just descended from Inverloch, you know. This thing, but in a few days she's going to be a dried up old, look at some old lady, you know, bent over old lady, ugly old lady. That's, you know, the whole thing about liquid beauty, you know. Every dazzling beauty queen is going to be an old dried up prune today or tomorrow. So why get carried away, you know? Okay, anything else? This is everything. Okay, here's some more. Krishna says that even a person of intelligence can be carried away by one of the roaming senses. Indriyanam hi charatam yanmanu nivadhiyate tadasya harati pyagyam vairnavamivam vasi. As a boat on the water is carried away by a strong wind, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Which factor saves one from falling prey to sense objects when sense objects come in front of the senses? You know what Prabhupada told us? This is a pretty amazing quote. But he told the boys in the early days there at 26 Second Avenue, he said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna. And he will dance rasa dance with them. So, the point is, you have to see that everything is for Krishna's enjoyment. See, if there's a beautiful girl, she is for Krishna's enjoyment. If there's a wealthy millionaire, he wants to give big millions of dollars to our movement. That's for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna, not for me. I never try to enjoy the property of Krishna. If you try to enjoy somebody else's property, what are you? You're a thief, aren't you? Yeah. So all the women belong to Krishna. If I want to enjoy a woman, that means I'm a thief. I'm trying to enjoy what is Krishna's property. Therefore, brahmachari. Any other questions? Looks like we've run out of questions, so the question well has run dry. That means it's probably time for me to stop here. So we can summarize basically what we've been discussing. That by cultivating higher intelligence, by hearing from spiritual authorities, we can know that which is beneficial for us and that which is detrimental for us. Armed with this enlightened understanding, we can then proceed intelligently, disciplining our words, our thoughts, and our deeds in such a way that they are always pleasing to Sri Guru and Krishna. And in this way, we are guaranteed to very quickly achieve the liberated platform of pure love of God. So I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.